Hello and welcome to Habemus Papam, episode 23, St. Stephen the First.
Dear brothers and sisters, annuncio vobis.
Annuncio vobis.
Annuncio vobis gaudium magnum.
Gaudium magnum.
Gaudium magnum.
Habemus Papam.
St. Stephen I was a Roman by birth, and he was the archdeacon of the Church of Rome during the pontificate of St. Lucius. Some sources state that he was aristocratic in origin, hailing from the ancient Roman Julian family. We're not 100% sure about that, but we know something about him at least, which is great. He was consecrated Bishop of Rome on the 12th of May, 254 AD. And like our past two popes, Cornelius and Lucius, most of what we know about Pope Stephen comes from the massive correspondence of St. Cyprian of Carthage. But whereas St. Cyprian had a great relationship with his predecessors, his relationship with St. Stephen was, it was shaky at best. And the conflict started over Novatianism. If you remember from our last time and episodes before that, Novatian was an anti-pope, and he had a really strict line regarding people coming back into the church after a fall. He said if you fell away from the church, as has happened to many people during the Decian persecution, you couldn't be saved, you couldn't return. And one of the adherents of Novatian's teaching was Bishop Marcian of Arles, a bishop in southern Gaul, and he denied reconciliation to those who had left the church, even on their deathbed. And this practice really disturbed some Christians in Gaul to the point that they wrote to St. Cyprian to have him try and rectify the situation. So St. Cyprian wrote a letter to St. Stephen asking him to excommunicate the bishop and appoint a new successor. Cyprian makes the case that bishops and priests who side with heretics clearly cease to have the power of the priesthood owing to their fall. This way of thinking is going to bubble over into a greater conflict. Cyprian and a portion of the church in Africa make the case to St. Stephen that one should not recognize the baptism of those who followed Novatian or other heretics. And he argued with Pope Stephen that these people who had been baptized by heretics should be re-baptized when they return to the faith. This is a really important and fundamental theological question. Is it necessary for, the correct administration of the sacraments to be fully a believer, or can they be heretics? Is full communion with the Catholic Church required to validly baptize? Does sin invalidate a priest's baptism? Well, spoiler alert for us, we know that if you're baptized in a Christian church, you don't have to be rebaptized when you become Catholic. You just have to receive the other circumstances. So what is required? And here is where we get the first definitive answer. The answer St. Stephen gave, which really angered St. Cyprian, was no. Heretics should not be rebaptized, but they need to receive the sacrament of penance instead. Now, we don't have the full text of the letter St. Stephen wrote to Cyprian, but we do have the letter of St. Cyprian complaining about it to a certain guy named Pompeius. Stephen apparently wrote the following to Cyprian: "If anyone, therefore, come to you from any heresy whatever, let nothing be innovated or done which has not been handed down, to wit, that hands be imposed on him for repentance. Since the heretics themselves in their own proper character do not baptize such as come to them from one another, but only admit them to communion." So St. Stephen's response is really moderate, and it's rooted in the tradition. He appeals to the fact that Rome has always recognized the baptism of other communities, even if they're in schism from the church, and even if they're in sin. This is the root of the church's teaching, that the sacraments are performed ex opere operato, meaning that they don't require the individual holiness of the minister. Though that never hurts. Of course, we want our ministers to be really holy. But they're effective in themselves because they don't come from the minister, they come from Christ. Ministers are just the gateway through which the sacraments flow. Ministers who have fallen away can themselves be readmitted to the church if they do penance, and they're not required to be reordained. This response, however, really made Cyprian angry. He wrote several more letters to Stephen. He didn't budge on his position, and he called together a group of bishops in Africa to try and refute Stephen and get him to change his position. But Stephen was also firm in his teaching. Stephen promulgated this teaching throughout the church, sending letter to the church in Asia Minor, who wrote complaining to St. Cyprian, and even going so far as to be hostile to Cyprian's representatives in Rome. And the conflict only really died down because of external factors. St. Stephen I died in 257, and not much later, St. Cyprian himself died a martyr's death. But the underlying issues remained and would come back with a vengeance down the road. But we'll talk all about that later. St. Stephen I was buried in the papal crypt in the cemetery of St. Callistus, and he was succeeded by St. Sixtus II, and we will talk all about his short and beautiful papacy next week. Thank you for listening to Habemus Papam. You can check out the rest of the Catholic Bites podcast at catholicbitespodcast.com or find us on iTunes. Thank you and God bless.